Actor Alia Bhatt has been subjected to another viral deepfake video, the second one this year, leaving her fans completely outraged. Now, this video, which garnered over 17 million views on Instagram before being deleted, shows what appears to be Bhatt participating in a Get Ready With Me trend. Now, this year, we saw in a host of deepfake videos, actors Ranveer Singh and even Aamir Khan asking us to vote for a certain party. Rashmika, Kajal, Katrina Kaif and even Prime Minister Narendra Modi have spoken about the dangers of deepfakes in the recent few months. In elections, Lok Sabha 2024, we saw the ECI also talk about deepfakes, and political parties even used leaders who have long passed away to mobilize their cadre using deepfakes. Well, the good thing is that the central government has shown some commendable urgency in tackling the menace of deepfakes. In fact, just yesterday, IT Minister Ashwini Vaishnav said that the government has looked at best practices of dealing with deepfakes from across the world, and the centre is looking at addressing this with a legislation, not just with advisories. But how easy or challenging is that, and how important is it that we crack down on misinformation, but not on creativity? That's what we discussed tonight. Joining me is a group of experts. We have Khushbu Jain, who's a cyber law expert. We have N.S. Napinay, who's an advocate, Supreme Court, and also founder of Cyber Sathi Foundation. And we also have Jitin Jain, who is also a cyber security expert. To you, Napinay, how do you see the, you know, I understand that, you know, there are, I mean, you'll have to explain to me if there are actually rules or guidelines for using AI to create synthetic media like deepfakes or similar content. Because what I understand is that as of now, there is no law that prohibits the use of generative AI or deepfakes. But of course, there are provisions within the IT Act. Then we also have the IPC, which has now become the Bharatiya Nyay Samhita. Then there are these IT rules. So clearly, for somebody like, you know, a common person or even me, it looks like a lot of laws. How can these regulations be overlapped? It just looks like too many laws right now.
Well, it's the problem right now is not about a lack of laws. It's about effective enforcement. So, you know, you have victims coming up time and again, but there is not enough clarity in terms of what the law can do. And it is, as you rightly said, the law is already there in more than one place, and it can be invoked. And the regulations that you were talking about, I assume were the regulations under the IT Act, the intermediary guidelines, which clearly speak about any kind of manipulated content, which would also include AI-generated content for takedowns and for protecting victim rights. So today, when you talk about one, your immediate remedy is for this kind of content to be taken down, and that you can go under the IT Act and the intermediary guidelines for immediate takedown within 24 hours. This is without you filing a criminal complaint or filing civil suits, etc. You just have to approach the grievance officer of the platform where this content is hosted and call upon them to take down this content, and it has to be done within 24 hours. Apart from this, if you want to prosecute somebody for creating content which could be also sexually explicit and therefore harm the reputation and dignity of the victim, then you can move under IT provisions. And of course, as you rightly said, you have the new provisions under Bharatiya Nyay Samhita too. So there is no doubt of law, but how many times do you see these laws coming into effect and being available for victims? So again, you've heard me say this many times, Vasudha, I'll repeat myself here again. People have to go forward. They have to seek their remedies. They have to make the system work for them. They will face trouble, because every time you go with cases like this, the first question that will be asked is, are you sure this is not you?
Right.
So it's really important for victims to know that they are not at fault. They cannot be questioned with respect to this. Even if it is their own imagery, they have a right to seek takedowns.
Right. That's very important. Khushbu, you know, I mean, there is, of course, when I talk to Métis guys, there seems to be, their approach seems to also have an attempt to stop dissemination, something that Napinay was also pointing out. But there's also talk about incentivizing early reporting, penalizing the delay in addressing complaints and taking down deepfakes, but more importantly, restricting avenues that create deepfakes. Now, tell us, how important are all these steps? Because often it looks like there could be people who could be sharing deepfakes without actually knowing that these are deepfakes, so there's no point going after them, isn't it? Khushbu, you'll have to unmute yourself. Okay, we'll try and get Khushbu. Jiten, would you like to respond to that?
Look, Vasudha, it's a multi-front problem. There is no quick fix solution. See, what currently MeitY is trying to do, instead of a dedicated IT law or a law specific to AI, we are trying to find law provisions within the existing law and trying to over-interpret them to deal with this menace. Now, this is as good as, you know, cooking a dinner with a candle instead of LPG gas. Theoretically, it is possible if you put thousands of candles, but this is not a permanent solution. This is, at best, a temporary approach. Hmm. So what you need is a comprehensive AI law to deal with this menace. So, you can fight deepfakes by a four-pronged approach. First is the technology. Today, you do not have technology to detect, or differentiate between authentic or synthetic media. The second generation deepfakes, which are created using deep learning models and this generative AI, it is almost impossible to distinguish even with a machine or an AI algorithm, whether it is a deepfake or a real video. Hmm. So there is an absence of technology, and that is the reason most of these platforms are not able to detect the deepfake platforms. They're not able to label it. They're not able to take it down. So detection itself is a problem, which is the first requirement of technology. This is where it falls apart, in the absence of technology. Now, second is the policy, the lawmaking. See, we have always, across governments across the world, have always lagged behind the technology. They have always tried to catch up. They have, looked at the problems and then do a catch up by making, amendments in the law. This problem cannot be fixed by amending IT rules or trying to, interpret provisions of a law in a different place. I think you need a dedicated, a comprehensive Digital India Act, which can deal with the regulation of artificial intelligence, transfer of technology, usage of technology, and all these problems. Then, using machine-generated labels, watermarks at the origins, so that the media could be tracked. All those problems could be solved when you have a very comprehensive and very clearly defined and coded law. Mm-hmm. Now, third, in the absence of these two, we are left with two options. First is the public awareness. You must go for a massive, mass awareness campaign that these generative models could be used for disinformation, reputation harms, revenge videos, creating instabilities among societies, creating riots. The more you make people believe that this old saying that seeing is believing, or one photo speak more than 1,000 words, do not hold any true anymore. You have to, inculcate a culture of in the people to understand that seeing is not believing, and right. Do not believe anything, even if you see it, till you verify. Now, fourth, the final solution, I think, currently in this state of affairs, would be the cybersecurity approach we take, which is zero trust model. Hmm. Do not trust anything unless and until you are able to cross-verify from multiple resources. Hmm. So, for example, suppose if you see a video online of a person doing an act, taking a bribe or something, do not believe it unless and until you see it on a couple of mainstream news channels or a reputed newspaper.
Right.
Go for a credible source where you are able to cross-verify. Till you are able to cross-verify it, no matter how much genuine it looks, no matter how original or real it looks, don't believe it.
Right. Right, that's very important. Jiten is talking about detection. Khushbu, help us understand. See, many experts that I spoke with also spoke about source tracing, and they say that that is very important to understand how fake news is being spread, and it's important to identify the perpetrator rather than, like I said, people who may spread information believing that the content shared is actually true. But, there's also this question of proving the malafide intent of an individual, something that Napinay also touched upon. When one gets into evidence or investigation, what are the challenges when it comes to deepfakes?
See, the challenges that come is the whole technology talks about non-transparency over here. You and me can create a video and put it across and it can go viral. Now, to understand or to reach the person, one, and the second, that one who was party to it or how one has created it, that's where I think whole concept which we were talking and countries across globe are talking about watermarking or labeling.
Yeah.
That, this content is created and this is the platform or the tool or the technology which has been from where this content was being created to utilize it. Because tomorrow also the problem would be the consent aspect. So much of your content is online, but the purpose is not there, and the consent for that is something which will play a very important role. So that consent aspect has to come up, which you are seeing it in Online Safety Act, which has been introduced by which is in the process of introduced by UK, which is talking in a way talking about the same thing, that anything which you put it across, even creation itself would be a problem. So when you talk about creation, evidence, it will play a very important role, because today that that aspect of not knowing that how somebody has created and who has created it with what platform and what evidences I have to collect for that is where the challenge would come tomorrow. So I think the whole aspect when it comes to consent, a proper consent, when it comes to taking of utilizing of any kind of picture or a video for creating such video is something which one has to look into in a different angle altogether. Mm-hmm. And all these technologies have to be made sure that if you're existing in a country like India or any other countries, everybody have to come together. And if you're existing, these are the same way KYC, which is there, or some kind of, aspect when it comes to if I'm opening up account at your platform and creating a picture, mm-hmm. I have a proper consent of, let's say, utilizing Vasudha's picture and I want to create some video or a voice or a picture for that matter. But I have created to reach to me, I need to have a KYC done so that tomorrow when law enforcement agency has to reach and gather some evidence, these are the platforms which can provide evidence back over there.
Right. Napine, just last December, we saw Meti issue an advisory to all intermediaries to adopt due diligence measures to ensure compliance with the IT rules. But, the minister yesterday made it very clear that advisories, not just advisories, we're also looking at legislation here. What are the best practices across the world, to understand how countries have dealt with the problem of deepfakes?
Yeah, that's very crucial, what you just asked. So we have a lot of precedents which we can utilize. The first and foremost, you have both state laws as well as two central legislations that have been proposed in the US. Both carry an acronym. One is deepfake as an acronym and the other one is protect. So when you look at these possibilities, the very quickly summing up what we could have as a takeaway from each of these. This first and foremost, what you spoke about earlier about transparency. Mm. So each of these laws mandate a transparency report, which will clearly watermark that what content you're viewing is manipulated or it has been created and that is not real. Mm. The second aspect is it's not just about watermarking and saying or doing whatever you want. You're still stopped or you're restricted from committing crimes. So you can't create deep fakes in order to manipulate opinion, in order to mislead the public into thinking that what they are seeing is an action by somebody who's in the picture. It also cannot be such that it will harm the dignity or integrity or the privacy rights of the person who is depicted. It also cannot be used, as you mentioned in the opening statement. Mm. In the elections, we saw a lot of deepfakes being used to mislead or manipulate the public. Mm. So you cannot use it for that. And so when you're talking about a legislation, and I'm totally in agreement with Jitin that yes, we need a legislation. Mm. But do we need a capture all? Do we now have to sit and wait for all or nothing with respect to AI? And do we need it specific for AI or for anything that can be manipulated content or generated content which can be misleading? So I would pitch for the latter because technology is evolving at a rapid pace. Law is glacial. It takes a lot of time for you to move from even a drafting platform to consultation to passing the law. So we can't have technology-specific laws. It has to be technology-agnostic. Mm. And dynamic enough to capture these kind of evolving forms of committing wrongs or crimes. Right. So we need to know what we need today. How can we bring it into? That's why I specified the emphasis on existing laws because we can't wait for 2 years for us to get our remedies.
Yes.
We need to find our remedies today. Mm. And we also have to see how we can find remedies going forward.
Right.
And for that, we have enough precedents which we can go with. I've just mentioned about one jurisdiction. You have many others like this across the world and you can draw from it. We can also have something that's specific to India, like how each law has come out nowadays in India, emphasizing the need for local languages, regional languages. So something like that is a specific customization for India. Mm. So I think we do definitely need something new, but it has to be specific and it has to be dynamic rather.
Right.
It should not just get caught up in the immediate, it shouldn't be a knee-jerk reaction.
Okay, Jitin, would you like to respond to that? Because clearly she's making a very important point here. Fewer laws, but more effective implementation and also more awareness and also more laws that understand the evolving nature of technology so that we just don't keep drafting laws every 2 years.
No, I agree with Napi. No doubt that, you know, we can't wait for a new law to come. We have to use whatever is there in the arsenal of existing laws. But these laws are stopgap arrangements. They are short-term arrangements. You need to have a comprehensive solution to a problem. And for that, you need to start drafting a law now and, you know, aim a target of, let's say, 6 months or 1 year to bring in a law. So, I mean, I think Digital India Act was committed a couple of years back, so we can go and make progress on that. So, see, India cannot be equated with West. We are a 140 crore people society with multiple religions, a lot of, you know, economic inequalities. It's very, very easy to create discomfort in our societies here by using misinformation. Now, let me give you an example. The one video which are showing during this debate of Mr. Amit Shah during the elections, this fake reservation video. Technically, it is not a deep fake. It is a manipulated media where some, you know, clips have been edited and he has been put in out of context. Now, do you expect, how do you define the law? Do you want a machine-generated label to be put on that video? I don't think it is fair because it's not machine-generated. But yes, it is a fake. Of course, no doubt it is a manipulated media. So it's very easy to label everything as a fake, deepfake, and then look at problem with a single lens. No, there are different problems and they have to be dealt in a different manner. Because tomorrow, somebody quoting somebody out of context, you cannot have the same punishment for creating a deepfake. And intent and purpose has to also be defined while, you know, adjudicating a crime. Now, I think in my opinion, let's take an example. The Amit Shah video you showed, I think one single video has had changed the entire discourse of, you know, election in the world's biggest democracy. You could say that if this reservation video had not come out, maybe the election would have been fought on a completely different agenda, on different issues. Now, this issue of religion and caste completely overshadowed the other issue in the election. So that is power of one singular, you know, one manipulated media, not even a deepfake, a manipulated media. And the entire government machinery could not counter that misinformation even in a month. So that is the power we are trying to see, that what harm it can do to a society. Suppose tomorrow a video comes where Rahul Gandhi is trying to purchase 4 MPs or somebody in the government is trying to purchase 4 opposition MPs. Just imagine the damage it will cause to the stability of the government. So I think my opinion, it's very, very important to A, deal, make immediately by, you know, an executive order or something, that every platform has to label misinformation as soon as it is reported under contest, or label it as, you know, under investigation, or has been labeled, or take it down till it is proven to be right. Because what will happen tomorrow, now let's take a scenario. A senior politician is caught taking a bribe. You know, should it be, and that, now the first question is whether it is a genuine video or a deepfake video. Now, definitely the person who's been caught taking a bribe will say it is a deepfake, take it down. And suppose if it is a genuine video, what do? You punish the platform? Do you ask them to take down? Otherwise, whole correction, everybody who's doing some hanky-panky will get up and say that, jaise pehle bolte the na, mera photo mof hai, pata nahi kisne edit kar diya. Abhi sab bolenge, this is a deepfake video, please take it down. Now, that cannot be a pretext. Absence of law or in lack of clarity in the law cannot be a pretext for a culprit or a criminal to take advantage of that law and to run away with the punishment. So I think it is very, very important to have a very clear law that how, what will be the adjudication process, who will judge whether a video is a deepfake or a real, what time frame a lab will take, what will be the, you know, process. So imagine a fake video of a politician comes out on the eve of election. And, you know, it's very difficult to figure out whether it's genuine or fake.
Khushbu, you know, would you like to come in here? Because, you know, he's making one very important point that, you know, there are fakes and there are deep fakes. And, you know, we saw that whole video of Amit Shah talking about reservation. Of course, that became such a big political flashpoint. And as a Tamilian, I saw both DMK and AIDMK bring out videos of both Karunanidhi and Jayalalitha talking to their cadre. And that was used, you know, extensively, you know, asking for vote for their parties. How did you in some way see deep fakes changing the nature of election campaign? Because the terminology is also so important. Like Jiten says, we use AI, deepfakes, everything, you know, together, not really understanding that all of these are very separate terms.
I think that's where I would agree with Napinai over here, that you need a law which is not specific to one technology or just talks about it's an AI related law or something like that, but it cater to issues, issues of identity theft, impersonation, fake news. These all are using the same thing, right? I'm using somebody's identity and utilizing it. I'm taking somebody's personality rights and utilizing it, somebody's voice, somebody's picture, somebody's identity. Fake news, I'm speaking something which is not truth. So all these things have to be catered. And for this, if a technology has been utilized, it can be a technology of deepfake. It can be a technology where you're just merging to video, sitting offline. It can be any kind of technology. But these itself should be a crime, and it should be clearly been defined that what are these. And once it reaches, one is the crime, but there should be a different punishments when it comes to the reach that comes in. Like, for example, if you're using it, you know, when you talk about intent and malice, your intent was such and you have utilized platforms to reach exhaustive number of people. And that's where your whole purpose, your whole solution, your whole idea was, intent was to malign somebody, and your purpose is done. Now, after that, investigations can keep go on and on, and the whole purpose is gone away with, and then you can take a shelter when it comes to evidence, electronic evidence, admissibility, and so on and so forth. So that's where I think you need laws, and we are seeing so many countries coming up with laws. India has also been party to conventions where approximately 28 countries, including India, China, all of them have come together, and they're talking about coming up with some laws or some ways, because this is not a local. This is vital for every government to get ahead of this fast changing kind of threats that's coming in, so that we as a country are not outpaced by these criminals. And it is essential that police, prosecutors, all of us, including law, are being trained, and the tools required, you know, for rigorously looking into these kind of things are being there, so that we enforce it properly. And even if we have laws or new laws that come in order to these law being implemented properly, we very much require these tools and techniques, which can be an equipment to law enforcement agency. Without that, it cannot work. Even if I give you law today, Vasudha, it's impossible without technology in place, and this technology, understanding and know-how with the law enforcement agencies or the people who are equipped to deal with this, including, I don't want to leave the aspect where all these platforms should be the one who should be held responsible, that your earning model is from these platforms. So if something like that reaches people, make sure that even if it's a fake video, reach back to same number of audience and say that this was something which was fake, this was wrong, or right. this was done wrong. So that's kind of, you know, maybe responsibility should come up. And this has come up by Singapore. Singapore has come up with such law where it says that if a content is wrong and it has reached to 40 people, the platform has to reach another 40 people again and make sure that they are aware that this was wrong. So right. Maybe something like that has to come up, so that the kind of advantage people are taking of these platforms is something which are not for their advantage, but, you know, people are we bring in such ecosystem where all of us as citizen, as a country, as society are being safeguarded
right.
by these kind of crimes.
Lavanya, ma'am, you know, I mean, is there something really good about deepfakes also? Because, you know, like you spoke about, privacy. I was thinking, you know, there is also this fear of crackdown on creativity, right? Or maybe something just that's like really just harmless. And, you know, how do you see that balance happening, when this new draft is being prepared? What are the things that the government needs to be mindful of?
See, that's actually built into our constitution itself, that when you're going to put down any restriction, it has to be a reasonable restriction. So here we'll be talking primarily then in the context of free speech and expression. So you have just pointed out to a very critical aspect of this, which is satire or parody, yeah. right? So you cannot stop a parody or a satire, but you have to know where the lines are drawn in terms of what amounts to a parody or satire and what crosses that line into misinformation or disinformation. So that's where law really steps in and will give clarity, or at least that's the way we hope law works. You may think it's a little utopian for me to think that, but then that's what its intent and purpose is, that it will explain to you where that line is drawn and where you have to stop in terms of just creating something funny. You know, how many memes do we see now?
Yeah,
exactly. Everything is fabricated. But do we then call it as a crime? We don't, right? Mm. We just look at it, laugh and move forward. Mm. So that's where that thin line is drawn in terms of what amounts to a comic relief, what amounts to exercising your right of free speech or expression, and where it violates somebody else's right.
Right. So, last actually, word from you, Jitin. Yes, ma'am.
Early days of Alpha of the Plough, if you remember, your hand only extends up to the other person's nose.
Right.
Right. It can't go beyond that. You can't touch the neighbor's nose. So we'll have to learn. We are all practical people. So we know where those lines are drawn, but we think we can get away with crossing the line. And that's why law needs to show its effectiveness, that if you cross that line, you will be prosecuted.
Okay. Chidan, closing remarks from you, as in what needs to be the government's agenda when it prepares a draft to handle, to address something like deepfakes?
I think we'll have to see that, you know, absence of law, instead of absence of law, execution of a law will be a bigger problem. And I can give you an example. Multiple videos of the anchors of your channel, your sister channels like Zee Business or CNBC, are all floating around on social media giving investment advices in different share companies.
Yes.
Now, I'll give you a very interesting example. Mr. Anil Singhvi's video was floating around giving investment advices. His office, he himself, his channel wrote to Meta that please take it down, it's a deepfake video, and they didn't. And they're still reviewing it even after 2 weeks. So I think this whole 24-hour business goes for a toss when there is an absolute lack of intent and lack of fear and lack of punishment by these platforms.
Right.
And second question, I think, we want to leave everyone with. I think it's very good to slam AI left, right and center, but there is so much good this has done. So I'm sitting in Dubai. This year there was a COP28 summit here in UAE. Yes. And the inaugural address was given by, His Excellency Sheikh Zayed, who died many years ago. His virtual avatar in an immersive reality gave the opening remarks. And just, you know, a completely live-to-life figure in an immersive reality giving an opening lecture. There are so many companies which are trying to bring memories of dead to alive by creating artificial generated videos of them talking to their families to heal wounds, you know, provide memories. So I think there is so much good which is happening around. So, you know, while we make the law, we must also make sure that the intent should be very clear that we have to stop the misuse of law. At the same time, we must ensure that creativity does not got lost in the lawmaking.
Yes, thank you, Khushboo. Thank you, Jiten Jain. And thank you, Napinai, for joining us on this show. Several broader questions that our panelists have raised. Do we need laws to stop the misuse of technology? What are the key challenges for regulators and also legislators? What are the limitations, and to what extent can specific laws help in countering deep fakes? We'll continue bringing all views and counter views on that. The biggest change I feel that deep fakes have introduced is not about the nature of information, but also in our capacity to trust our own judgment, which is why this is important to be discussed. Time for a short break. More news and updates on the other side.